want to speak about several things this evening. The first part is just to prepare you once again for tomorrow morning, going to see Balaji, Darshan, coming before Balaji so we can get his blessings and become eligible for Vaikuntha. When taking Srinivas Darshan, two of the essential places to go before Srinivas Darshan is what we're going to do, Papanasanam. It's a kund or a lake, and there's some history connected. Doesn't say how long ago, but long ago, a brahmana resided in Tirupati. And he had several wives, and I hope they weren't as loud as that one. Excuse me, Hare Krishna. He had six wives and several children. And he wasn't a wealthy Brahmin landholder. He was a poor Brahmin, like many Brahmins may. Without having land endowment, he was having great difficulty just maintaining his family. Out of a concern and affection for her husband, one of the wives, Yashovati, made the following suggestion. It's said in scripture that out of the various kinds of dhanam, bhu dhanam is the best, gift of land. Remember when we were coming down the steps from Simachalam, anadhanam is the best. Someone says this is the best, someone says that is the best. Yashovati read something in the scripture that says gift of land is the best. So according to scripture, if you take your bath in Papanasanam, make a gift of land to the brahmanas, who some brahmana, and Venkateshwar or Srinivas will give his blessings, and this difficulty that our family has been undergoing will be passed. So he became inspired to try to fulfill that benediction or blessing given in the scripture. So somehow he gathered up enough funds to buy five feet of land. And he came to the Venkateshwara Hills, bathed in Papanasanam, and gave his land to a qualified brahmana. By that act, according to the scripture, done faithfully, the Lord was pleased. It was with material, it wasn't unmotivated devotional service, but it was done with great faith in the words of the Supreme Lord, in the words of the scripture, and the difficulty of his family passed. Papa is means sin, and nasana means eradication or annihilation of sin. So this place that one goes before taking Balaji Darshan is a place where we'll all go tomorrow and take water from the sacred kund before coming before Balaji. It's said that the Pandavas also came to this place, Papanasana Tirtha. But at a different time than the Mangalagiri deity, Eka Shila deity of Lord Nrisingadev that we saw, because that was during their exile, very near to Papanashanam Tirtha, or in the same area as Pandava Tirtha, a place where the Pandavas, under Krishna's direction, came. After the Kurukshetra battle was completed, Bhishma Dev had pacified Yudhisthira to assume his role as king, because he didn't even want to assume his role as king. But still he was feeling, I want to rid myself of this contamination for the involvement in the Kurukshetra battle. So according to the Mahatmya of the area, Krishna advised, go to Venkatadri Hills and perform activities for purification there, because very special potency is there for eradication of sin. So they came to the place, Pandava Tirtha, and executed some austerities there for some time, and then returned to rule in Hastinapur for some years before the Pandavas retired and turned the kingdom over to Maharaj Parikshit. In the Varaha Purana, something that I narrated earlier, was how Bhu Varaha came to reside here. The description was, same as we know in Varaha's appearance from Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Varaha rescued Mother Earth from the difficulty Earth was put in by Hiranyaksha, by placing the earth in imbalance by taking large quantities of gold from one place to another place, making the earth out of balance, and the earth fell out of its orbit into the Garbhadaka Ocean. So mention is made of Mother Earth, that's Bhumi, and the deity that we see is Bhudevi, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. So the earth is not the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord has, there's internal, external, and marginal. This we know from our Gaudiya Vaishnav teaching. Bahiranga Shakti, Antaranga Shakti, and Tatashta Shakti. The external energy, the internal energy, and the marginal energy. That's our standard Gaudiya Vaishnav teaching. The internal energy, our Vaishnav teaching is Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. And Radharani is the Ladini portion of that internal potency. The existential potency, the knowledge potency, and the pleasure potency. In Vishnu Purana, or Sri Vaishnavism, it's Sri Bhu and Nila. Bhu Devi, so rather than going through a whole long thing on this, the Bhu Devi has an expansion for the purpose of serving the Lord in his material creation, that's the earth, or creating the manifestations as desired by the Supreme Lord, carried out by one of his potencies. It's something like the pastime that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna spoke to his Yogamaya potency and requested his Yogamaya potency to transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And after that, he gave a second service. You appear within the womb of Mother Yashoda. And the very day that you are born, I will be born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And I will then instruct Vasudeva to transfer you and me so I can appear as if I'm the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and you can appear as if you're the son or the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki. By your arrangement, by the internal potency, by Yogamaya potency, no one will know what happened. Vasudeva and Devaki will know, but Nanda and Yashoda won't know. The next service is, Kamsa will come and try to kill you, because you're the eighth child of Devaki. That's what he thinks. But don't worry, he won't be able to kill you. When he tries to kill you, you'll, because you're my potency, he can't kill you. So after that, you'll be known in various parts of the land by various names. Various names of Durga. Correct? That's the Bhagavatam narration. So what's the position of the internal potency, Yogamaya, and the external potency, Durga? Durga is the reflection, or Chaya Devi in the language of Sri Brahma Samhita. The reflection of the spiritual potency is the material potency. This whole material creation is just a reflection of the spiritual reality. Yes, Bhagavad Gita. The material creation is but a reflection of the spiritual reality. So that same Bhu Devi that is worshipped by Bhu Varaha, her expansion, Bhumi, was rescued by Lord Varaha. And Bhu Devi, or Bhumi, requested Lord Varaha, let us continue to associate together here in this very wonderful place, Venkatadri Hills. So the deity that we're going to see is Bhu Varaha. There are, within Sri Vaishnavism, there are three sets of prayers that are very much related to the place that we're visiting, Tirupati, having to do specifically with the eradication of sin. Remember the request of Lord Brahma to Narada was, consider a way to invoke the Lord, invite the Lord to descend on earth during this age of Kali, to relieve people of their sins and attract them again to the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha. There are three places. One is that are very prominent in Sri Vaishnava teachings, as well as for ourselves, particularly the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharmam Pratyaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Masuchaha. Where Krishna is saying, if you surrender unto me, those who surrender unto me, I free them from all sinful reactions. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Masuchaha. And there's a not identical but related verse from Valmiki Ramayana, which reads, Sakritevena Prapanaya Abhayam Sarva Bhutebhyo Dadami etat vratam mama. In the Sharanagati song, this is referred to without the Sanskrit, but the promise of Lord Ram that one who surrenders to me even once, who declares My Lord, from this day forward I am yours. I will give them protection. This is my vrata. From the Yuddha Kanda of Valmiki Ramayana. By that surrender unto Lord Ram, or committing oneself to Lord Ram, he protects one from all of one's sinful reactions and makes one's life successful, gives his protection. In the Varaha Purana, there's a similar verse that's particularly important according to certain of the Sri Vaishnavas. Aham smarami mad bhaktam nayami paramam gatim. I remember my devotee and take him to my supreme abode. The understanding is that in the final stage of life, even if one forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan thinks of his devotee and takes him to the spiritual realm. This was told by Varaha to Bhudevi in the Varaha Purana. Now, I'm not so knowledgeable in this whole matter, but for those of you that are familiar with Sri Vaishnavism more than I am, you'll know what I'm about to say more than what I'm about to say. After Ramanujacharya's life, there was a schism over philosophical ideology. Not like horrific, but there were two ideologies about this principle of surrender. One principle of surrender, there are some Sanskrit terms, they're commonly known as the northern and the southern division. One said, once you surrender, that's it. You're going to Vaikuntha. Like this indication of Varaha to Bhumi or Bhudevi. And the comparison is the kitten and the cat. I don't know if you've seen, when I was growing up, we had a female cat that had lots of kittens. So many kittens. And the practice of the mother, when she's moving the baby kitten from one place to another, she puts her mouth on the back of the neck of the kitten, and the kitten is just dangling there, and with the soft part of the skin on the back of the kitten's neck, she carries the kitten from point A to point B, and then picks up another kitten and moves the kitten litter from this place to that place. So the kitten doesn't have to do anything, just and gets moved. And it's with that understanding that certain of the followers of Ramanujacharya asserted that simply surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with sincerity just once, Vaikuntha bound, because the Lord will protect you in that way. And another is a group that said, that's not Ramanujacharya's teaching. His teaching is, we have to continue with our practices very diligently and purify ourselves and in that way achieve Vaikuntha, achieve the qualification to enter Vaikuntha by the Lord's mercy. And the comparison in this case is to the baby monkey and the mother monkey. The baby monkey is holding on with arms and legs and tail, and the mother monkey jumps here and the baby monkey goes with the mother monkey and over there. And so there's some effort required on the part of the baby monkey's side, along with the mother monkey carrying the baby. Our Gaudiya teaching is far more like the second. Both are required. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's teaching, particular to the Damodar Leela, He in his commentary indicates these 2 inches too short of the rope to go around the abdomen of Damodar indicates these 2 items. One is prayasa with bhakti, bhakti prayasa, our effort in devotion, and the Lord's mercy, the Lord's kripa shakti. And these 2 are required. We described when visiting Kurukshetra how prior to going to Jagannath Puri, Ramanujacharya from the scriptures understood places of very special deities, particularly self-manifesting and well-known deities. According to the Shruti mantras, there are 2 deities that are mentioned. Shruti mantras means going back in time as far as Lord Narayan exists. That's eternal. And 2 are mentioned, not in the Purana section, but in the Shruti section. And Balaji and Sri Rangam, or Ranganath and Sri Rangam, are mentioned specifically by name. So, it is said by some that Balaji may appear and then disappear, but his pastime as presiding in these special hills is like Vrindavan. Sometimes Krishna appears and then his pastimes are not present. It's understood in that way. So Ramanujacharya, while in Sri Rangam, as the successor acharya to Jamunacharya, he was reading from the scriptures along with his disciples about how various deities, very, very prominent deities, are worshipped so nicely. And Ranganath enjoys excellent cooking. I think we're going to experience the prasad of Ranganath while we're there. I'm sure Nanda Gopal has figured that one out somehow. And Varadaraja, a very important deity during the youth of Ramanujacharya. He especially personally makes sacrifices for the welfare of his devotees. That's the renown of Varadaraja. And Venkateshwara, his renown is that he enjoys very beautiful and fragrant flower decorations. So as he was spontaneously reading from the scripture like this with his disciples, he looked in the audience and asked, who is there amongst you very qualified devotees of Lord Narayan would like to dedicate the rest of your life to go to Tirumala and serve Lord Venkateshwara, providing him with very nice flowers and serve him in that way? Nobody put their hand up. For more than one reason. The main reason was they didn't want separation from Ramanujacharya. In our Vaishnav line, Gaudiya Vaishnav line, we respect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with abundant scriptural evidence and great personalities in our Vaishnav line experiencing that directly and so forth. We have our scriptural authority. The followers of Ramanujacharya similarly have their scriptural authority in the form of a verse from Ananta Samhita. This Ananta Samhita is a book that, or scripture, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur referred to, because it gives sections describing Navadvip Dham in very beautiful ways. So here's a verse from Ananta Samhita that specifically states who is Ramanujacharya. And I've looked for the verse. This is a devotee that's very learned and has provided the verse. I looked for it in folio, in database. I couldn't find it. So there may be some error in the Sanskrit here. Anantam paratamam rupam lakshmanastu tata param balabad matstu triyangscha kalu kashchid bhavishyati. The translation: in his first form as Anantashesh, the bed of Lord Narayan, in the spiritual world, the same Ananta appeared as Lakshmana in Treta Yuga, Balabhadra in Dwarapa Yuga, and will appear as Ramanujacharya in Kali Yuga. Ananta Samhita. So the Sri Vaishnavas accept Ramanujacharya as Balaram, or Lakshman, or Anantashesh, appearing in this age of Kali. So here's their Acharya and the succession of line of the Sri Sampradaya. And they're accepting, they have the association of Balaram, Lakshman, Anantashesha. They didn't want to go. They didn't volunteer to go. Ramanujacharya was patient. He asked again, is there no one amongst all of you who will go to serve the Supreme Lord in this way? One devotee stood up, Ananta Acharya, who said, I can understand that this is your desire. If you so desire, I will go there at once and serve you. Tirupati is the abode of Vaikuntha. I'll be serving you in separation, but I will serve you there if you give the order. Ramanujacharya was very, very happy to see that surrender. And at that time, I mentioned this, during the time of Ramanujacharya, it was like jungle. It was wild. It was nothing like we see. Even now it's not well developed, but there wasn't roads, there wasn't anything. Just Venkateshwara up on a hill. So it's in this way that Ramanujacharya made his influence prominent during his lifetime, initially through Ananta Acharya. So Ananta Acharya came here on pilgrimage along with his wife, and he began serving as he was trained by Ramanujacharya, serving Venkateshwara, and his specific project was making a nice flower garden. He's a Brahmana. He's not used to manual labor, but that was required because there wasn't anybody else to do the manual labor. So he's serving Venkateshwara. He made the garden, dug the ground, did the weeding, planted the seeds, took care of the garden. He then wanted to dig a tank so he could have a reserve supply of water for the garden and for the deities. So he got the implements, the shovel and so forth, and was digging the ground and giving the dirt into a little basket and having his wife carry the basket on her head to some distant place and leave the dirt over there. Venkateshwar didn't, it was difficult for him to see his gentle, learned Brahmana, Anantacharya, do all this labor. So he disguised himself as a Brahmin boy, dressed in golden dhoti and golden earrings and very delicate features, and came before Anantacharya and said, "My dear sir, this is a very difficult task you're undertaking. I'd like to help you." Very polite, nice manner. Anantacharya said, "What are you trying to do? My life is service to Venkateshwara. You want to take my life away? I understand you want some service, but there's so many services to do. Go find some other service to do. Don't take away my service." The boy said, "I don't want to take away your service. I want to help you. Please allow me to help you. Find some other way to help. Serve Venkateshwara some other way." Some time passed. He's still involved in digging the well. His wife became pregnant, and during her pregnancy it was very, very difficult for her to do the same kind of physical labor. So again Venkateshwara appeared, again disguised the same Brahmin boy disguise, and came to his wife and said, "Don't tell Anantacharya, but your pregnancy doesn't permit you to do this hard labor. Kindly let me help." And she said, "How can I let you help? My husband doesn't want to accept your help. If I accept your help, I'm transgressing the instruction of my husband. How can I do this?" He said, "Don't worry. He doesn't have to know. You can carry the dirt in the basket on your head some distance and then pass it off to me, and I'll carry it the rest of the way." The boy was so gentle and sweet and pleasant, she didn't want to deny him the opportunity for some service. Plus, it was very difficult for her, in fact. So she agreed. And as the digging was continuing, far more quickly than all of the previous time, she was coming back with empty baskets. Anantacharya is a Brahmana. He could understand, "Wait a minute. What's the difference here?" And he saw the Brahmin boy. He got up and went to look. There was the Brahmin boy. So he went running after him. He was in a rage. And the Brahmin boy went running away. And in a fit of anger, he took the spade or the shovel that he was using and threw it at the boy. And it hit him. And he was running and running and running, and he ran into the temple. And so he went looking for him in the temple. "Did you see the little boy running around here?" Didn't see him running around, but he saw where the shovel hit, and there was a mark on his face. Anantacharya was horrified to understand he didn't recognize the Supreme Lord who he's trying to serve, and instead hit him with a shovel. And I'm told that somewhere that very same shovel is visible. Yes? Anyone live here and know about that? Yes? The main entrance where? Right where the Didi Darshan is? Before you enter the temple, there's a main entrance. On the right-hand side, there's a shovel. So hopefully our guides will point this out to us. Yes? Yes? You'll show us. Okay. Anantacharya's weapon. Some camphor and some herbs were applied to the chin where there was blood. And Venkateshwara indicated, "You have pleased me very much by your attachment to your devotional service. How compassionate is the Lord." Little Prabhupada's story. One devotee was given some service directly by Srila Prabhupada. And I'm going to skip the details of what the service was and who the devotee was. But they were doing their service as best they could do their service. Oh, they weren't so good at it. They were practicing to become good at it. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, is it okay to be attached to your service?" And Prabhupada's reply was, "Yes, you can be attached to your service. But if your spiritual master then assigns you some other service, you should immediately let go of that service and be attached to the new service that you're assigned, because the attachment should go to the service that's requested of you, and therefore you're attached. Be attached to the instruction of the spiritual master, not to a particular activity in devotional service." Very nice instruction. Be attached to the instruction of the spiritual master, not to the particular activity itself. So after some time, Anantacharya is living here at Tirupati along with his wife and eventually a small child. And Ramanujacharya wanted to reciprocate with Anantacharya by making a pilgrimage to give support and encouragement to Anantacharya. It's described when he was in the town of Tirupati, he asked a person who was taking water from a well with a bucket, which way to Venkateshwara. And they gave him a detailed explanation of how to get there. And immediately, Ramanujacharya, the acharya of the whole Sri Sampradaya, pays his obeisances to the person pulling water from the well. So his disciples also paid their obeisances, and then asked him a little bit later, "Why did you do that? You're our acharya, and everyone is offering respects unto you, as are we. So can you offer an explanation?" And he said, "Yes, because one who gives one direction how to reach Vaikuntha is worshipable by you." And when he came to the bottom of the Venkateshwara hill, much like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who didn't want to walk on Govardhan because Govardhan is Krishna, Ramanujacharya didn't want to walk on the hill, because the hill is not different than Vaikuntha. How can we put our feet on Vaikuntha, the Lord, Anantashesh? So he didn't go up the hill. Anantacharya came to know that he was up on the hill, that down at the bottom of the hill it wouldn't come. So Anantacharya came down and said, "Ramanujacharya, please come, take darshan of Balaji." He said, I can't walk on this sacred hill. He said, how am I supposed to do my service if you can't walk on the hill? I can't stay and serve Venkateshwara either. And for that matter, who will take his darshan, and who will serve him at all? You're our acharya. If by example you don't go, no one will go. Everyone will follow your example. So Anantacharya persuaded Ramanujacharya to go take darshan. There's a garden, Ramanuja garden, up, we'll see, and Ramanuja Pakur. Okay, you know all these places. Huh? Backside of the temple. Okay. On another visit that Ramanujacharya made to Tirupati, Sri Shailapurna came to receive him. Sri Shailapurna is related to Ramanujacharya. Make sure I have this correct. Sri Shailapurna had two sisters. One of those two sisters, Kanta, Kanti Mata, married the father of Ramanujacharya, Keshavacharya, Asuri Keshavacharya, and one of Sri Shailapurna's sisters became the mother and father of Ramanujacharya. So, by family, he's younger and directly related, Ramanujacharya, younger and directly related to Shailapurna, and Sri Shailapurna was one of the foremost disciples of Jamunacharya. So, quite elder and very elevated, Vaishnav. When Ramanujacharya came, Sri Shailapurna came all the way down to the bottom of the hill to receive Ramanujacharya, offering garlands of the deity and prasad of the deity. And Ramanujacharya was feeling very uncomfortable. He said, how is this exhibiting proper etiquette? I'm your junior, and you're by far my superior. You should have sent some more neophyte person rather than coming all the way down the hill yourself. And Sri Shailapurna's reply was, in terms of etiquette, you're certainly right. And I was considering like that. But I looked everywhere and I couldn't find anyone who was more neophyte than myself, so I came myself. An elevated Vaishnava thinks of themselves in that way. Less advanced, offering respect to others without any expectation of respect in return in all circumstances. Sri Shailapurna exhibited that by his character. So Ramanujacharya, it's said during this particular visit, that Ramanujacharya fasted. He stayed on top of Venkateshwara Hill for 3 days, and he completely fasted without water also, because he didn't want to answer nature's call on Venkateshwara Hill. And I'm sure some of our local devotees know it's commonly heard that when he climbed the mountain, he climbed the mountain on his knees because he didn't want to put his feet. Now that's each of the times he came, or first time, third time? Can you hear him? Okay, whenever he went up, on his knees. It's one thing to shave your head when you come to Tirupati. Another thing to walk up a mountain on your knees. During that visit, when Sri Shailapurna was also here, he stayed for 1 year. Ramanujacharya stayed for 1 year hearing Ramayana from Sri Shailapurna. This is a very distinct part of Ramanujacharya's life. Several things. One prominent thing is, although he's the Acharya for the whole Sampradaya, following Jamunacharya, he's hearing from other qualified persons. Remember our discussion in Rajamundry? What's the qualification to look for who you hear from? He was eager to hear from those who are qualified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing from Ramananda Roy and Haridas Thakur. Ramanujachari was hearing from Sri Shailapurna in Ramayana. And he similarly heard instructions from Mahapurna in the scriptures. And Gostipurna received mantra from him. He had multiple persons who he looked to as spiritual masters. Although he's the successor of Jamunachari, he was never in his personal association and yet understood the mind and the heart and the will of Jamunacharya. So this is one of the Acharya-like exhibitions or pastimes he performed to instruct others in his teachings, that this simplicity and total humility and eagerness to hear from those who are qualified to speak, showing by his own example. When Ramanujacharya wanted to leave and go back to Sri Rangam, the headquarters, the place of the Sri Sampradaya's headquarters, Anantachari was very reluctant to have him go. Very reluctant, feeling great separation. And Ramanujacharya was very grateful to Anantacharya for the service that he was rendering so nicely. As the scripture indicated, he was doing. As his spiritual master indicated, he was doing. Fully dedicated, totally dedicated to serving the Lord in that way. But he was attached to Ramanujacharya. So during Ramanujacharya's presence on earth, he arranged for a deity form of himself or a murti form of himself to be worshipped by Ananta Acharya. And that murti is by the side of the Balaji deity. Where is that murti? You're not sure, but you'll find out. Okay. Well, I'm indicating some things that you will be seeing tomorrow. We'll find out where those places are for sure, and someone will point out each of these places I'm mentioning. Ramanujacharya embraced that murti form. There's another example of this that we'll be hearing later. But he embraced that murti form and by so doing invested his own spiritual shakti, or you can say gave it life, as in pran pratishtha is giving life. And it was the first of such murtis of Ramanujacharya during his pastimes. Couple other incidents with Ananta Acharya. One of them was, one time he was picking tulsi leaves for Venkateshwara. And as he was picking tulsi leaves, a cobra bit him. And there were devotees with him that saw the cobra come and bite him. And he didn't even say, ouch. He just kept picking tulsis. And the devotees were saying, Sri Shaila Purna, please allow us to get some medicine for you or take you to a doctor or something. He didn't even reply. He just kept picking tulsis. The disciples didn't know what to say, so they went to Balaji and, Balaji, please help. Sri Shaila Purna is going to die if he doesn't do something. So Balaji spoke, said, bring Ananta Acharya here. Balaji spoke to Ananta Acharya. Please do something for this poison. And Sri Shaila Purna, it's almost like Jagatananda, Pandit, he's like, please tell me, there's two kinds of poison within me. One is the poison that's within my heart. Is that the poison that you're talking about? There's a cobra within me. He has poisoned me with false ego, pride, greed. Or do you mean the poison of that cobra that bit me and this body may perish because of the poison of the cobra? That poison can harm my body, but not my eternal soul. But the poison of the cobra within can destroy the natural qualities of the soul. So which poison should I pay more attention to? This cobra within can only be destroyed by your mercy. And Balaji said, well, if you die, then I'll lose your association. Sri Shaila Purna was in the left-wing side of things. He didn't say, whatever you say, sir. He had a different answer. If the poison of that little snake is greater than the snake within, I'll leave my body, take my bath in the river Viraja, and serve you in Vaikuntha. We won't break our association. I'll just serve you there instead of here. If my internal poison is greater, I will live. Then I will take bath in the Pushkarini lake and go on serving you. That was Sri Shaila Purna's reply. It doesn't say whether he lived or died. Apparently he lived. Yes, because there was some other service that he had to do. Sri Shaila Purna demonstrated very wonderfully same teachings we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahituki tvai. Factually, he was not interested in any worldly anything. He was interested in his service to the Supreme Lord and the service to his spiritual master. And that was his attachment. Transcendental life even within this world. So, as a great devotee of Ramanujacharya, he demonstrated this same principle. A great devotee lives simply to serve. And regardless of the circumstance, they see that that service is eternal. This circumstance, that circumstance. Life is filled with complexity and circumstances are changing all the time. Sometimes it seems to be going very well. Sometimes it seems to be going very difficult. Sometimes it's a combination and sometimes it's quiet. But wait a while. Something will happen. So our service should not be circumstantial. Pending circumstance, then I can serve the Lord. Ahoy tuki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. This is the Bhagavatam's teaching, and it's the life of great personalities who we can think of, glorify, offer our prayers to, remember, and gradually those qualities become our qualities by that absorption. I mentioned this some days back. This is one of Ramanujacharya's teachings. How does one develop qualities of a Vaishnava? This is one of the formulas that he's given directly in his teaching. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. In our case particularly, by hearing and chanting, hearing and glorifying and remembering these elevated personalities. And we'll continue this discussion about Ramanujacharya and the great devotees that were accompanying him in his service here in Tirupati and in Sri Rangam when we go to Sri Rangam. Sri Ramanujacharya ki. Sri Venkateshwara ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. Something about the schedule. Those of you that are having to do translation, there's normally a Sunday feast lecture that's in the conference hall upstairs in the other building with a little discussion with Revati Raman. That would accommodate that, you know, special group of people that come to their Sunday feast that especially like to hear, but it won't accommodate all of you because it's a much smaller space. So it's going to be here at 7:30. So it's now 6:45. Those of you that would like to participate, it's going to be for his, it's eight, Krishna Consciousness 101, very introductory. If you'd like to come, you're invited to come. But let the front area be by the people, for people who are the local Sunday feast group, sit in the front. We can sit a little bit further back. I think everyone will fit. It'll be a very simple, very, very simple. But let's see where the questions and answer session goes. And you all can take part in the question and answer session. Do any of you want to ask any questions about things that we've talked about so far? Can we entertain questions and answers?
Can they not know that they have
a top? I'm going to do questions and answers. They'll figure out their translation part. Okay. You want to make some announcements? Okay. So we're going to have questions and answers, and then so don't go away because there's going to be announcements, like logistical things tomorrow. Don't miss the bus and don't miss your breakfast and those kinds of things. Is that all right? Yes, Vishnu Charan. Do we have a portable microphone? Project your voice. Yeah. Somebody asked me that, and Mataji asked me that today. I didn't say it, but I was thinking to say, oh, you would look very good with a shaved head. That's not what I said, though. The significance, correct me if I'm wrong, It's a statement, an expression of submission, of ego and vanity, and requesting being accepted by the Lord. With egoless, just coming before the Lord egoless and being accepted by Him. My recommendation was, that's a nice gesture. Here's another one. I said, what did your husband say? He said, you can do if you want, but ask Maharaj. So I said, today, before you go to Venkateshwar, write a prayer that's from your heart and say that same prayer from your heart and open your heart to Lord Venkateshwara. Your short darshan, say your, literally say it or read it, recite it, speak it, express it to the Lord. That's another expression besides the head shaving expression. And that's more within our line, the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam practice. One can follow that other practice, no harm. This is more along our line. That's what I recommended. Subal. Keep going. The fear of what? Ah, elephant bath, hasti snan. Okay. Right. How to maximize and not be subject to the bungee cord phenomena. Those of you from India, do you know what bungee cords are? No, you don't know. They have those little hooks on one end and hook on the other end. And it's elastic in the middle. And you hook this one over here and hook that one over there to hold something in place. You know what I mean? So after you stretch the bungee cord and you let the cord go, it goes back to where it was. I call that the bungee cord phenomena, where we make some progress and slacken in our submission and then we're back to where we were. Three steps forward, three steps back. Three steps forward, three steps back. Three steps forward, four steps. Whoa, wait a minute. Not being able to continue to make progress that we're striving to make. So how to overcome that bungee cord phenomena? Because an elephant throws dirt on itself after taking a bath doesn't mean it should never take a bath. Because we make some effort to go forward in Krishna consciousness, and then our conditioned nature kicks in and we're back to something like what we were before, doesn't mean we shouldn't make any effort. We continue to chant the holy name and take bath in Radhakund and come on pilgrimage and make prayers to the Lord and who knows, maybe shave your head. But you've already got a shaved head. No sacrifice for you. You already tried that one, huh? So Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanyagamino. The instruction of Krishna is by constant practice we continue to make effort. And while we're making effort, some progress will be there. And most importantly, Krishna is recognizing and accepting the sincerity portion of our effort. Not just the effort, but the sincerity with which we're offering. So keep nurturing, like this other question you asked of a similar nature, keep nurturing or paying attention to that the quantum of sincerity with which our efforts are being made. So like this prayer to Venkateshwara, this devotee was asking about, let that prayer be very sincere and practice and sustain that practice. Here's an example, practical example. There's a devotee whose name I will not mention who noticed there were certain phrases that I was repeating again and again in lectures, and they caught it. And they put it in the form of a personal, how do they say it? A commitment. In terms of how they perform their daily chanting. And I don't need to repeat what that particular, you know, like sankalpa or commitment. They've been sustaining that for 6 years. And each time they write a report, they repeat consciously, making the commitment again, making the commitment again, and making the commitment. And they're in a sustained way trying to perform that which they understand is a very critical instruction that they've heard their spiritual master give again and again and again. Sustain that effort, and that takes sincerity. It takes the quality of goodness. Passion is, yeah, I'm going to do it. And goodness is, I'm going to continue doing it. And to continue doing something requires sustained effort and the quality of goodness. That's where some real serious purification starts to take place, when we enter into that quality of goodness, sustained, despite whatever disturbances of passion and ignorance may erupt around us. Krishna sees that. And Krishna reciprocates. And that breaks the bungee cord. When the desire, back to your question, how that relates is, Krishna is our shelter. And that's the lesson. And the lesson may be easy, the lesson may be hard, or somewhere in between. But that's the lesson. That's our Krishna is our shelter. The lesson to depend upon Krishna. See if the shoe fits. If it fits, wear it. It's kind of a universal one-size-fits-all feet. What we feel is really important to us, our attachments or our aversions, is not what's really important to us. The exclusive shelter of Krishna is. Life teaches us. Scripture is there to guide us. Our acharyas are there to hold our hand and walk us through the lessons of life. And that's the lesson. Krishna is our shelter. And Guru being the representative of Krishna, or those who are in that service of guiding us in our spiritual life, they're in that position. Wow. Okay, we don't need a second microphone right now. We got some written questions. As mentioned in the class, the example of Sri Ramanujacharya, who is so eager to hear from qualified personalities, but for me, when I hear from anybody other than my spiritual master, it doesn't move my heart because of lack of relationship. Is it okay to not have such eagerness? Well, we go back to the discussion we had on what's the qualification to look for, to hear from, and you see the qualification to hear, then on the instruction of your spiritual master, there should be eagerness. on the instruction of the spiritual master, there should be eagerness. Where there's a qualified person to speak, it's good to have eagerness to hear. You'll make further, your spiritual master will be pleased by seeing you make nice spiritual advancement because of eagerness to hear from the right source. Be careful not to hear from the wrong source. And you can see, here's something that may help. You can see that other person in relation to your spiritual master, that on the instruction of my spiritual master, I'm hearing, and the inspiration you receive can help strengthen your relationship with your spiritual master, if you see that resource in the proper way. If not, it can lead to a conflict of loyalty or something like that. Someone, I'll say this, in a very, Prabhupada gives the example of a young tree, and they put a fence around the young tree. Put a fence around the young tree because animals, the elements, something may harm the tree and the tree won't survive. So in its young stage, there's a fence around the tree. But when the tree becomes mature, they remove the fence. You don't need the fence anymore. The tree is now strong and mature. It can withstand the elements and animals and all kinds of things. Similarly, in an immature stage, it's good to hear from one source. Then there's certainty and safety and security and a strong relationship with that person. In course of time, just like a child growing up, their parents, that's their shelter. Someone else comes into the house and they're hiding behind the sari of their mother, or hiding their head behind the leg of their father, because they feel security in their mother and father. As the child becomes more mature, especially when they see affectionate dealings between their mother and father and somebody else, they consistently see affectionate dealings between their mother and father and somebody else, they begin to be able to feel comfortable with that somebody else. But it's on the basis of their comfort of their mother and father with that somebody else. So it becomes an extension of their mother and father. So as one matures, one can hear in different ways with an open heart, and it's not going to be in conflict to the primary relationship, like the relationship of parents to their children, or children to their parents, rather. I mentioned in the morning class that the clearance of debt by Balaji lasted throughout Kali Yuga, and that it happened in a previous cycle. Is that Leela a Nitya Leela? Don't have the answer to that. Good question. The Balaji debt was a previous Kali Yuga. One of the responses that I received, and I had a different but similar question, a Sri Vaishnava, or now a Gaudiya Vaishnava from a Sri Vaishnava background, gave the following answer. Yes, Nitya Leela. In the sense that because Ranganath and Balaji are both mentioned in the Shrutis, we can understand this is a Nitya Leela, sometimes appearing, sometimes not appearing, like that. The narration that I gave is gathered from multiple different sources, and so it's a bit of a kitchery. Not just... Okay. When you have a choice to do a service, and you don't exactly like it, then how do you get attached to it and accept it? I think I already answered that question. Here's Nectar Devotion's answer. It's dasya, servitorship. The example that Rupa Goswami points to is the son of Krishna, Pradyumna. Pradyumna was, as Krishna's son, had a rasa with Krishna as servitor of his father. So when Pradyumna wanted to do something and Krishna didn't want that something, he wouldn't do it. If Pradyumna didn't want to do something and Krishna wanted something, he would do it happily, immediately, because he was attached to his father and in service to his father, he did it. And I'm sure everyone can say we do lots of things we don't like to do. I can say I do lots of things I don't like to do. I do lots of things I don't like to do. And I do them happily. Because they're service. I don't do them because I like to do them. Nanda Gopal, do you like making arrangements for everybody's eating and sleeping? Of course, no mating and no defending. As a brahmachari, all in babies and children and milk for children and on and on and on, somebody's health. And he's brahmachari. Why is he doing it? It's service. Service to the Vaishnavas. You get the idea. We do things because it's in service to the Vaishnavas, it's under the instruction of the spiritual master, it's to please someone who we love. We do something that we otherwise wouldn't be doing. That's love. Love and service and submission. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we heard this Ramanujacharya example that with his disciples, they were suggesting him something and they were
asking... Could you hold the microphone so we can hear you?
We heard Ramanujacharya's disciples asking for explanation from him that why did you pay obeisances to him and giving him suggestions that I think if you are an acharya and if you don't go then others will follow. So it is like when I'm processing it, you know, it same thing can be offensive also, like suggesting and asking explanation.
It's a relationship. Did you understand the question? 50%? It's a relationship. It's unique. It's a loving relationship. Wait till you hear about Govinda. Not this Govinda, but Govinda, the cousin of Ramanujacharya. He is really amazing. Right? It's very unique, loving relationship. We don't imitate such things. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, way in the back. Can you come forward? We don't have that long of a cable. And speak clearly. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been merciful to devotees in different ways.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did what to devotees?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been merciful to devotees in different ways.
Had been merciful in different ways, okay.
Like glorifying, accepting and chastising. And similarly, our spiritual authorities and spiritual master are also merciful in different ways to us. So, I have three parts in this question. How can we understand, what are the symptoms to understand that their mercy is flowing? Part 2 is how to be in right mood to be able to receive that mercy. and third, how to attract more mercy?
Here's the answer to all three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And if you didn't understand my answer, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, etc. Next question. Jagatananda will answer your question at his convenience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.